is United States versus Taylor. Mr. Martin?
Yeah. Good morning, Your Honor. John Martin from the Federal Community Defender's Office, Northern District of Indiana, on behalf of Mr. Taylor. May it please the court, Mr. Taylor was charged with an offense involving sexual activity that referred to the state statute, Indiana Code 3542-4-5C3, that holds that a person 18 years of age or older who intentionally touches or fondles his or her own body in the presence of a child less than 14 commits performing sexual conduct in the presence of a minor. Mr. Taylor entered a chat room, an adult chat room, that you have to certify that you're 18 years of age in order to enter the chat room. And somehow, however, the mechanism is utilized, he clicked on or began chatting with a person named Ellie Girl.
You know, we're painfully aware of the facts of the matter.
Yes. Okay. Well, ultimately what happens is Mr. Taylor, it is said by Ellie Girl that she's 13 years of age. There are some photographs, of course. The photographs are 14, 15-year-old from 1990, an agent. Mr. Taylor eventually masturbates on a webcam, and that is received by the police agent, and that is basically the sexual activity that takes place at that juncture. That's what he is charged with. In Indiana, this charge could carry, the judge could find someone guilty of this charge and give them probation. Under the federal statute, under 18 United States 2422B, person who persuades, induces, entices, or coerces a minor to engage in prostitution or any sexual activity for which they can be charged with a criminal offense, it carries 10 years to life. So based upon that, here what we have is we have a situation where no minor is actually engaging in sexual activity. We have a 37-year-old man who is touching himself and broadcasting it, something that it doing that in the presence of a minor is an offense in the state of Indiana pursuant to the Indiana statute. But looking at that from the perspective of whether that is sexual activity, what we have is we have public nudity.
You don't think that's sexual activity?
Sexual activity with the minor. No, the minor sexual activity.
Sexual activity in the abstract before we get to the minor.
In the abstract, he is performing sexual activity upon himself, yes.
But that's sexual activity.
Well, is sexual activity defined because that's the term in the statute he's being prosecuted under.
It?
Prostitution or any sexual activity. So is that a defined term, sexual activity, or what?
It is not a defined term.
They're using President Clinton's definition of sexual activity, I take it.
It is more open.
Sexual act is a defined term, but requires touching. Contact, which you don't have here. So the question is whether sexual activity is more than a sexual act. Isn't that the issue?
Yes, that is correct.
So where do we look for an answer?
In your soul.
Right, because it doesn't seem to be defined in the federal code, in the criminal code, right?
But it does. The statute itself says coerces a minor to engage in prostitution or any sexual
yes,
activity.
The question is whether what he wants her to be herself masturbating. So the question is if she does that, this supposed child. I mean, this is an attempt case. If she does that, would that be sexual activity? It wouldn't be a sexual act as defined in Title 18, but would it be sexual activity? And my question is, where should we look for an answer to that question?
In the second part, because it's charged under the two statutes, the second part is him attempting to...
Well, you're not answering my question. Where do we look for the meaning of sexual activity in 2422B?
I believe it can be inferred by the relative penalty involved in comparison to the relative penalty involved with other acts of sexual activity. I mean, it's a 10-year-to-life statute.
Wait, other acts of sexual activity? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, obviously sexual activity could mean sexual intercourse.
We have sexual act as a defined term, and now we have sexual activity. Is your argument that that sexual act is punished less severely, and so it would be odd for sexual activity to be a lesser form of sexual misconduct? Is that the argument?
That's correct. And the involvement of activity, the child engaged in activity, rather than passive.
You're in your rebuttal, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not sorry. I just want you to be aware of it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Martin. You'll have some more time later. Mr. Benson?
May it please the Court and Counsel, Philip Benson for the United States of America. I believe in trying to define...
What does sexual activity mean?
Sexual activity under the statutes obviously is not defined. But we have to look to Congress using a different term than sexual act. Obviously, had they meant the statute to be limited to conduct that constituted a sexual act, having previously used that term before, why would they not have used it again? So I think...
You tell me.
Well, because I think that had they meant sexual act, they would use it.
All right, so what does sexual activity mean?
The government's position is that it is something broader than...
Where did you get that from?
From the common everyday phrase, activity, as defined in actually both sides.
Look, activity just means a series of acts. How does the activity become a series of different acts?
I don't understand the court's question. I apologize.
A sexual act, as defined in federal code, requires contact between the defendant and the victim. And you're saying that somehow, when you don't have a sexual act, you still can have sexual activity. And I want to know where you get that from. How activity becomes a different series of acts from sexual acts.
I think the word activity, as we talk about in our brief, actually means something different than
come on.
Act.
You get that from a dictionary or what?
Well, the common everyday meaning of the word activity.
What is the common everyday meaning of activity as distinct from act?
Well, activity is defined as to involve oneself in the event, to participate.
It doesn't. It's just a series of acts.
Well,
playing baseball is an activity, right?
Some people
eating is an activity. Eating is a series of acts of bringing
which
the fork to your mouth.
Sexual, but go ahead.
Right?
It's certainly playing baseball is an activity. Some people who engage in fantasy baseball consider that a baseball activity, even though they're not playing baseball, because it's of or related to baseball and consumes their participation and a substantial amount of their time. And so
is watching a pornographic movie a sexual activity?
It could be.
What do you mean it could be? That's a very unsatisfactory answer.
Just say yes.
Can you prosecute people under the statute for exhibiting a pornographic movie?
For exhibiting it? Absolutely not. Because
Why
if it's
sexual activity?
It could be sexual activity. I would assume that most people who watch a pornographic movie are doing it to derive some type of sexual pleasure from it. But I guess there could be someone who could watch it for its artistic value or how to make it.
With cops, of course.
No, or a producer of it.
This police officer, obviously, watches pornographic webcams.
Well, when asked to do so and portraying herself as a 13-year-old, absolutely. But in this case, the defense counsel...
Do you think watching a movie is sexual activity? Even if you're not doing anything, you're just watching it. You're not masturbating. You're just watching a pornographic movie like another 100 million Americans or something watch it. So.
I think
you're all engaged in sexual activity?
I think that is a question.
But if you go to an R-rated movie, it's not pornographic, but it shows, you know, nudity and it shows sexual activity. It's not hardcore, but, you know, it's some kind of be very artistic movie, but it shows sex.
I would say someone would have to look at...
Is the audience engaged in sexual activity?
No, because it's part of a much larger presentation or work, because certainly a lot of movies do have that component to them, and certainly an audience would not be engaging in sexual activity by going to a movie and watching something for 2 hours that has, you know, 20 minutes of sexual activity that fits within that plot.
20 minutes of sexual activity.
It's part of a much larger and broader reason that the activity is being displayed and that the person is watching it. Such wasn't the case here.
People engage in sex to have children. It's their sex is part of a larger activity. Were they not engaged in sexual activity?
Well, clearly they are.
Part of a larger...
Clearly they are.
But you said watching a pornographic movie is sexual activity, but watching a pornographic component of a non-pornographic movie is not sexual activity.
Because when the entire scope of what is being viewed by the person is people engaged in sexual activity, only sexual activity, then I think there's no other conclusion that can be drawn but for their watching that movie to fulfill their own sexual desires and
sexual
fantasies.
What's the interaction between Taylor and Ellie?
Here's where I part company with the defense, is that they claim this was all passive activity, just that Mr. Taylor simply displayed himself. That's not the case. A close reading of the transcript indicates that on August 2nd, the first time Mr. Taylor masturbated on a webcam, you have to look at exactly what he's saying in conjunction with what he's doing. He simply isn't displaying himself and engaging in an act of self-gratification. As he's doing that, he is conversing with the undercover officer, who we believe, he absolutely believed was 13, and he says some things, and I ask the court to consider these. One, he says, I want you to ask me, this is the defendant saying, I want you, Ellie, to ask me to show you myself and to do this. That's what he says. He is engaging Ellie, not only by inviting her to view his webcam.
The question about whether watching pornography or watching nudity or something or watching him masturbate is sexual activity.
Well,
even though there's no contact, there's no physical contact between the two of them, as there would have to be for a sexual act. And what about the defendant's proposition that if you commit a sexual act, you're punished less severely than if you engage in this sexual activity, even though a sexual act requires contact and your conception of sexual activity does not?
Well, there are certainly, in this statute that he was charged with, requires the defendant to use a facility of interstate commerce. Some of the other statutes that prohibit sexual acts between adults and minors simply don't have that requirement. And I do think there's a broader harm that the defendant or a defendant presents when he can sit in his living room and contact as many minors as he wants on the Internet, trying to persuade and induce them to engage in sexual activity, or ultimately...
Begging the question, what is sexual activity?
Well, there certainly is a greater harm. The defendant who uses the Internet, which is what this statute prohibits, certainly has a broader reach.
Having actual sex with a child? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying a defendant...
No, but you said it is. You said it's worse than a sexual act, which requires contact.
I did not. I didn't finish
did.
The sentence, Judge. What I'm trying to point out is that when a defendant goes and contacts a child individually, meets them, approaches a relative at a birthday party.
Sex with the person.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that worse or less bad than what he than what Taylor did?
Worse. There's no doubt.
Why isn't it punished as severely?
Because this statute requires an individual who uses a facility of interstate commerce. The hypothetical the court just gave me simply does not. And the defendant who can use the facility of interstate commerce has a much broader reach with greater anonymity and a less chance of getting caught than someone who approaches an actual child and reveals his identity and his name and engages in the physical act in a place where he might get caught.
You know, it sounds worse to me.
Well, certainly the result is worse, but certainly what facilitates...
material, when we evaluate people's criminal behavior, they produce worse results.
Potentially, absolutely. But in this case, as this court has seen numerous of these internet cases, that is the new mechanism and perhaps the main mechanism by which internet predators approach and trying to ensnare minors.
You know,
it is the internet.
2422, says the bill doubles, this is the legislative history, bill doubles the maximum prison sentence from 5 to 10 years. For engaging in for enticing a minor, travel, etc., etc. For persuading a minor to engage in prostitution or a sexual act. But then the statute itself uses the term sexual activity, and throughout the legislative history, they seem to be using sexual act and sexual activity as synonyms.
Well,
and your fancy definition of sexual activity does not seem to have any grounding anywhere. There's no statutory definition. The legislative history doesn't treat act and activity.
When a word is undefined in the statute, the presumption is that it's given its
a rule of lenity. I mean, if one is at a complete loss to figure out what a criminal statute means, you're supposed to adopt the more lenient interpretation.
Absolutely.
Haven't given any basis for your definition of activity.
The case law is such that when a word is not defined, it's given its plain meaning.
But it doesn't have a plain. Tell me what the dictionary says.
Activity
about the difference
is of,
act and
of
activity.
Or pertaining to or involving oneself in an event. That's the definition of activity. Not that I'm making up, that Webster's and Merriam uses. And generally, that's the case law is established, that when the word is not defined and it isn't, and even more so here, we believe that it had to mean something different than sexual act, because
but it doesn't in the rest of the statutes where they change these words back and forth without any without any sense that they're changing the meaning.
I don't know.
That doesn't require an answer. Yet.
Pardon?
That doesn't require an answer. You just made a statement.
I'm just saying that they put a different word in the statute.
You aren't going to convince them. You know.
I'm not trying to. Okay.
Given up.
Okay. But we do believe, Your Honor, that if the court looks at what the defendant did, it's not the act alone. It was his conversations with Ellie trying to, number one, engage her physically, emotionally, and mentally in this process when he was engaging this activity. And we asked the court to uphold
the
conviction.
Don't go away.
I'm sorry.
I just want to focus on one thing. And I write this down to make sure I understand it, and I'll read it. The question is whether Indiana statute for vicarious sexual gratification qualifies as any sexual activity under 2422. To be convicted under Indiana statute, Taylor has to be, and then it refers, you know, have to go to the Indiana statute, which we haven't talked about. C, a person 18 years of age or older who knowingly or intentionally, 3, touches or fondles the person's own body in the presence of a child less than 14 years of age with the intent to arouse or satisfy the sexual desires of the child or the older person commits performing sexual conduct. The whole deal here is in the presence of. And in the presence of, if it's going to be on a video cam, then there's not going to be actual touching. But that's as I understand it, the way this person would be convicted. Now, I haven't heard any argument on it, and I don't know about watching movies and all that other stuff. But well, this is, seems to be what is being charged, and that's what she's convicted of. And obviously, I don't like this case any more than you do. But this is where we are. Now, is that correct, what I just read?
Yes. And we contend that, and the defense hasn't raised in the presence.
Yes, you know, you've answered his question.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
the government position is that we contend that in the presence of, given the age of the internet in webcams and videos, that physical presence and being able also, or the video presence, being able to interact with the minor simultaneously constitutes in the presence of. Because they're talking back and forth, they're directing each other what they want to do, and they're seeing each other do it. It is more than just a phone conversation. It's an engagement in which people interact back and forth.
Would you treat it differently if there were a phone conversation?
First of all, he couldn't have displayed himself. If he had,
so what?
If he had asked her to engage in acts of masturbation for his gratification and sort of walked her through that process on the phone, I think the government would still be arguing for the same result, Your Honor.
That would be in the presence also.
Yes.
In the electronic.
It's the interaction between two human beings.
Okay.
And the ability to control or direct someone else's, what you want them to do. So,
nice.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Martin, have anything further?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. The government's, what the government's interpretation does is it completely allows the state of Indiana to define sexual activity before the federal statute. And it completely allowed, by being instructed the way the juror was and having the charges being charged the way they were, it completely steered the jurors to just look at that very passage that Your Honor read, regardless of anything else that was going on in the case, and it was per se a violation. If, in fact, the jurors believed that he actually believed that he was speaking with someone who was under the age of 14. And so there was no challenge to the effect that there was a masturbation over a webcam. That wasn't argued. The argument was the age of the person on the other side. And that was the thrust of, the complete thrust of the defense in the case. Based on the law, the way that the charges were charged and the way the Indiana statute makes it very clear with regard to the conduct, that conduct is a violation of the Indiana statute, then the actual defense was the age of the person on the other side. And to that end, the jurors were instructed erroneously. The government concedes that it was error, but the jurors were instructed that they could infer knowledge from suspicion or indifference to the truth in the case. So
well, you're talking about
the ostrich
instruction. Ostrich thing, which
yes.
They, you know, that's.
But I mean, that's not what I argued. We didn't get to that, it's unfair to talk about it at this point. But the fact of the matter is with regard to Your Honor's question, that was all they had to be, they had to find, and that's all that was it. Any other? Thank you.
So, Mr. Martin, you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm with the Community Defender's Office.
Well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf of your client. We thank Mr. Benson as well. We'll move on to